Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Hanging out here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Now joined by ESPN senior NHL writer Greg Wyshynski, presented by Old National Bank. Get old, Greg. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's exciting times on and off the ice.
Yes. Well, let's start with the two Canadian teams that are going to be needing head coaches. Chris Knobloch fired in Edmonton and Berube fired in Toronto. So those are two interesting openings now with head coaches.
Yeah, and it's hard to think about the Edmonton situation not pointing to them eventually hiring Bruce Cassidy once the Vegas Golden Knights decide to give them permission to talk to the guy formally. You know, because if in a perfect world, the Golden Knights name him like a scout. They never let him go to Edmonton. It gets really ugly. But I think if they continue to withhold the chance for the Edmonton to talk to their former coach, the league will probably step in at some point and be like, hey, listen, man, you got to let this guy get another job in the league at some point. So I imagine if they're going to move on from a guy that led them to two straight Stanley Cup finals, albeit a first-round exit this year, that they've got somebody in mind, and it's somebody who kind of fits what they talked about today, the Oilers, who can come in and kind of give them defensive structure and do all the things that Bruce Cassidy can do in short order. Toronto, anybody's guess. I mean, you know, that was a situation where a change had to be made. You don't swap out your entire front office and then end up keeping the coach that led a team to its first playoff miss in 10 seasons. Kind of fascinated to see what direction they go. And if that direction they end up going is in any way related to trying to keep Austin Matthews happy.
Do you think, though, like, who wants that job? I mean, I know there's going to be somebody that's like, yeah, it's one of 32 or it's Toronto and I'm the guy for the job. But, like, I almost equate it to replacing Nick Saban at Alabama. Like, there's just so much pressure to take that job, and with the front office situation the way it is, like, who wants to step up and do it?
Well, there's two ways to answer that. First off, there's only 32 of these jobs, right?
Right.
And so if you are somebody on the outside looking in and you want a gig and it's a place that can pay you probably pretty handsomely to become their new coach, you probably take that offer. The second thing is, you know, it's been pretty obvious why the Leafs have hired some of the people they've hired in recent years. You know, they get Babcock in there to teach a young team how to win. They get Berube in there to try to, like, fix the broken psyche of a team because he was so good at doing that during St. Louis's Cup run. I don't know where this Leafs team is. Like, are they in a mode of contention? Are they in the mode of retooling? What does it all mean? And do you bring in somebody who is commiserate with that cycle, or do you just bring in the best coach that you could find? I don't know. And then on top of that, you got a guy who's the general manager who hasn't been in the league in 6 years. He's been managing Wendy's and Tim Hortons for his family's company in Canada. And then above him is Matt Sundin. So who even knows what they have in mind as well?
Yeah, it is certainly going to be one to watch. Does Austin Matthews end up staying in Toronto in the long term, though?
No. So there's two ways to answer that. In the long term, no, in the sense that he can leave as a free agent in a couple of years, much like Connor McDavid can in Edmonton. I think he ends up playing somewhere in the United States at the end of his contract. In the short term, I've done some reporting on this since news came out that Matthews is going to kind of take a beat and figure out what he wants his future to be, and that's very real. You know, he doesn't know if he necessarily wants to play in Toronto next year. He wants to see what moves they make, what are the things they have in motion to try to make this team competitive in the short term. Because if not, he could easily do the same thing that Quinn Hughes did, the same thing that, Matthew Tkachuk did, which is to peace out before your contract is up, knowing that you've got a couple of years of window to win a Stanley Cup with a contender before you have a chance to go unrestricted free agent and set records in the amount of contract money that will come your way.
Greg, by the way, I've got friends, a few of them, that manage a Wendy's. I think managing a Wendy's is harder than managing an NHL team. I just think the drama at the Wendy's is a lot more, but I get what you're saying about that. Hey, let me ask you this. I pay a lot of attention to the teams inside the Predators division, of course, because it's the Nashville Predators. With Minnesota losing last night, a lot of, you know, they made the second round, a lot of excitement about them. How good could they be coming back next year, Greg, if they keep the core there?
And where? Sorry, it cut out. Which team are you talking about?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. First of all, imagine managing a Wendy's that hasn't made a good burger since 1967. That's what being with the Toronto Maple Leafs is like, okay?
All right.
Second of all, Minnesota is an interesting one because, and it's kind of almost Austin Matthews related a little bit in the sense that I never thought this team could beat Colorado. And the reason I didn't think they could beat Colorado is because their lineup is a donut. They've got nothing in the middle. You know, with Joel Eriksson Ek being injured, their number one center was Ryan Hartman, which you guys obviously are a guy you guys are familiar with.
Right.
That's not going to give you the center depth that you need to take out a team that has Nathan MacKinnon, Brock Nelson, Nazem Kadri, Nick Waugh, and Jack Drury up the middle. They go five deep in Colorado. So the modus operandi for the Minnesota Wild after this season is they've got to add significantly to their center position, and maybe that means if there's the opportunity to continue to push all your chips in the middle of the table and make a run at Matthews, imagine him with that team surrounding him in Minnesota. So it's clearly the biggest area of need, and I'm fascinated to see how Bill Guerin, a guy who is not shy about making a big move, what he ends up doing.
Interesting. I'll ask the question. Predators GM search. I mean, it's. I hope they don't announce tomorrow because the NFL schedule releases tonight and everything tomorrow. I hope they wait till next week. But are you surprised this has taken a little bit longer than everybody thought?
I'm not, because all the reports are that that they're looking at somebody who may be currently tied up in the playoffs somewhere. And you know, I had heard the name Darren York from the Carolina Hurricanes as being a possibility. I know that there's been some cold water thrown on that by my friend Elliot Friedman in Canada, and he is a pretty plugged in guy. So I do think they'll probably go the assistant general manager route from somewhere. That seems to be the most logical reason why this is taking so long. But I'll be fascinated to see where they end up. I mean, I feel like if they were going to hire Tom Fitzgerald, it probably would have happened already. They probably have somebody in mind that they've identified, and we'll see what shakes out.
Greg, this is my prediction. In a couple of days, they're going to call a press conference. They're going to have somebody walk out in a robe and a black hood, and Barry Trotz is going to pull it off and say it was him all along. Just a la Vince McMahon. So that's where I could see this going at this point.
It was me, Nashville. It was me all along. Hey, listen, man, there's precedent. I mean, we did have a vice president by the name of Dick Cheney who was in charge of finding who the vice president should be. So
that's true.
You never know when you have these kinds of searches, but I don't know. I think obviously they feel like there needs to be a different voice, and you know, the ownership has been pretty meticulous in this search, and we'll see where they end up with. But there certainly is an air of mystery to it. I mean, there again, when you start hearing one name, and then a prominent insider says it's not that name, there's got to be some level of disconnect going on.
Are we destined for Colorado versus Carolina in the Cup final?
There is a certain amount of King Kong versus Godzilla happening here, boys, where
yep.
They seem like they're both marauding across the countryside until they meet somewhere in the middle of the country. Look, Colorado, we all knew, had the juggernaut in them. And dismantling the Wild in five games, despite the Wild missing a couple of key players, is incredible. Because they're doing it not only with the star players. I mean, they get the goal from MacKinnon last night. to send it to overtime. But then, you know, Brent Kulak scores in overtime. They've gotten goals from Ross Colton and Parker Kelly in key situations. Their depth is unbelievable. And then on top of that, you have some of the best players in the world having heroic moments. Carolina, though, don't sleep on them. Like, I covered them against in the first two rounds, including their sweep of the Flyers. And this is the best offensive team Rod Brind'Amour's had there. If they continue to get goaltending from Freddie Anderson like they've gotten, and that's not a guarantee because that guy can turn into a pumpkin and he can also get injured, they're a team that could sneakily give Colorado a pretty good series. I think it's not a foregone conclusion in a Carolina-Colorado series that it would be Colorado coming out on top.
Well, and I'll say this about last night. I was sitting with my buddy watching, and it was about halfway through the second period before they scored. I said, if you feel like putting some pizza money down, I would take Colorado to come back and win this thing. I just had that feeling that, you know, they were just too good, and I've seen them play with their food too much to count them out.
Well, it's also a situation where Minnesota's spirit was sucked out of its body vampirically when you blow a 3-0 lead in a winner go home game. You know, it's hard to kind of get off the mat again once you let that game get to overtime. So I had the same feeling, and you could see it in the way they played too. I mean, like, Kirill Kaprizov getting paid the gross national product of Belize on his next contract, and he doesn't shoot the puck on goal. He tries to pass it, and that decision led directly to Colorado's game-winning goal in overtime, and that's the difference. I mean, McKinnon gets his shot, he shoots it. Kaprizov gets his shot, he tries to pass it, and that's a pretty stark difference.
Greg, in your experience in covering the playoffs, when a team's got too much time off, is it a detriment? Like, Carolina might have over a week off. Have you seen teams, because they've had so much time off, it takes a second to get them going again, where if a team is rolling through and they've got a day off and they're to the next round and on, has that motor running? Is this a do or die, or this means nothing at all?
Normally, yes, except this is a special situation because, if you remember, Carolina is the first team to have back-to-back sweeps under this playoff format that we've had since 1987. So I talked to them after the series, like, what's going to happen if you guys are you know, off the ice for like 9 or 10 days? And they already had their processes in place after the first round where they didn't play for a week to make sure that they remain sharp and in shape and focused.
Right.
So they kind of go into this break knowing how to do it in a way that maybe other teams haven't in the past. And I think that's going to be really beneficial to them in this next series against Buffalo or Montreal.
He is Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Are you covering a game tonight?
No, I'm actually in Bristol for some meetings.
Oh, nice.
Here at the Worldwide Leader today. And I'm actually going on SportsCenter Australia later today to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Probably make some terrible jokes about Fosters and crocodiles, but you know, as you do. But no, I'll be back on the road for the conference. That's not true. If Anaheim wins tonight, I think I'm off to Vegas on Saturday for Game 7. I'm not saying I'm wearing a duck mask today in support of me going to Vegas on Saturday.
Yeah, I am. Nice. Well, I'll say this. If the rumors are true, we hope to see you in Nashville for week one of the NFL season.
Oh, God.
Because the rumors are it is the Saleh revenge game against the Jets.
Well, listen, that would be amazing. As you guys know, the best time of the year for a Jets fan are the hours before week one. And then it's all downhill after that.
Yeah, well, Titans fans are probably right there with you. So that's kind of how it is. Appreciate it as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer from ESPN, joins us every Thursday, usually at 2. He's presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll come back with What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays all next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.